position number 23175, Rue 1.
Mr. Hastings, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Hastings?
I was born in Hartlepool.
Your date of birth?
The 27th of the 8th, 16.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, I don't know. I never knew my father. He was killed. I was a baby at the time. He didn't get back. He was fortunately killed like the First World War.
Was he in the infantry?
He was in the infantry, as far as I know. I think he was a dispatch rider. My mother had a photograph of him. I don't know where the photograph's gone now. And he was putties on and things like that at that day and age. Like, so I know he was a dispatch rider.
Did you have any other family?
Yes. My mother married again later on, like, and I had a sister and a brother. Stepbrother and sister, like, and two more, but they died when they were young, like, two more sisters. I was the oldest one in the family.
And did your mother have to work for a living?
No, she didn't. In fact, a fact, I had a very limited bringing up. I was brought up in poverty. Well, there's four of us lived in one room. It was my mother, my grandmother, my sister and myself. And the others didn't come along till years later, like. We had just one room to live in. So sometimes I used to go to school with no breakfast, or very little. I'd be bare feet and that in the summertime, them days. So that was in the 20s.
It's been a pretty tough upbringing, really.
Big plan?
Pretty hard upbringing.
Yes, it was in that day. It was common, like, accepted them days, though. I remember once when I went to Linfield School, started there, like, infant school. The caretaker, I remember vaguely taking us in, and I used to sit at the table and be breakfast with the caretaker and his family. It was that bad, like, they took pity on us, yeah. Because my sister was only a baby at the time, like, and I was just going to school then, 5 years old, yeah. I remember vaguely that.
So you had very little of anything, clothing and...
Well, no, we had very little in a way, like, in Christmas time, very rarely got any presents, and the neighbours used to probably buy a box of chocolate soldiers or so. I remember that, and my sister, similar, like, on Christmas morning, they used to knock on the door, give that to them and all that, like, you know. And we just accepted it. In fact, on a Sunday, if I had to go any messages on a Sunday morning, I'd go early. Then my mother would keep us in all day because I had no Sunday clothes to put on to go out with, yeah.
How did she manage then? It's a pretty hard time. What income did you have?
Beg pardon?
What income? What kind of money had you coming in?
Well, as far as I know, she just managed off the outdoor relief. That was all, like. We lived in a terrace house, like, in an upstairs bedroom. We had the use of the back, to come in the back, you know, out the back. And at night time in the dark, the loudest would walk through their room, like, to go upstairs. I remember them days, like.
And it was an upstairs to a terrace house that you lived in, is that right?
It was a terrace house, yes, we lived in, yeah.
How big was it, the house itself?
Well, it was just like the normal. In fact, the house is still there today. Yeah. It's over 100 years old now. Yeah, some council houses that have been over here for 20 years, they pulled them down. Just, you know, this day and age, like, things certainly have changed a bit, haven't they, Harry, over the years, like.
Did you have electricity?
No, someone in the street got electric in. Yeah, later, I'll be about 8 years old, as far as I can remember. And we used to love to go in there and switch the light on. Thought it was great. We had gas mantles before that.
And the toilets, were they the earthen closets at the back?
Well, there was.
The toilets, were they the earthen closets at the back?
The toilets? The toilets. Yes, the toilets were outside, like a wooden toilet to sit on and all that. And the tap we had was in the back backyard, over the sink, and I thought we had them days, like. Because they've all been moved in since then, like, in the same houses.
What were your neighbours like?
Well, my neighbours were very good, I thought, like, not like that in this day and age, like. Oh, looking very well. As I just said, at Christmas time, we got no presents, but they always used to, somebody used to knock on the door on Christmas morning and give us something. Yeah. That made me sister, like, yeah.
What kind of games did yourself as a child play in those days? How did you fill your time in?
I played football on the back straight and cricket and things like that. That's about it. I had a bowler with a, run about with a stick like them days. That was in the mid-20s, like.
And was quite safe to play outside?
Oh, yes, yes. Quite safe. We used to play knocking iron doors down, like, a bit of string, like, and drawn pin, stick it on someone's door, like, the string on it, a little notice from it, a little weight at the bottom, and go in the dark somewhere and pull it like that, so knock on the door. The people come to the door, like, we thought was great fun them days. That's the only mischief we seemed to get into in my day and age, like.
Where did you start school?
I started school at Linfield School. I was there. I never learned the alphabet there. I couldn't recite the alphabet now to you. And then I went to Broome School a few weeks later.
What are your memories of school life?
Well, memories of school life was all right. I liked it. To play football and cricket. I wasn't in the football team or the cricket team. Like, there's other people better than me. But one thing I did outstand, I was a good drawer. And in one class I was in, we had to draw a coat of arms, like, in crayons and pencils, no, crayon work and that. And every month, man was top, and I had to make a big one and hang up in the classroom. I was fairly good at it. I still like drawing, yeah.
You mentioned the fact that sometimes you didn't have a breakfast when you got to school. You've mentioned
no,
the fact
that's right, yeah.
So what about meals during the day, then, did you?
Well, we got a bit of dinner time. Sometimes I go with more breakfast, or very little breakfast them days. And sometimes in the summertime, often I'll bare feet at times, or very full pair of shoes on, holes in the bottom, putting cardboard in, you know, to walk on, in the, like, cardboard soda. I have something to do with that, like. But then we used to get a pair of, allowance for a pair of boots at the boot shop or something once in a while, like. That was great, that was champion, that. Yeah.
Did you go home for lunch
from
school?
Yes. Mm.
Any particular? Well, you've mentioned drawing. Was there any other subjects that you were fascinated in?
Well, I was fascinated with woodwork, but they only give me a limited amount of woodwork to do. Like, when they learned how to use a plane, a chisel, the basics, like. The instructor was called Old Daddy Dawson. I remember that all right, just when I went to school. We used to go from Broome School up to there, where they had the woodwork thing. And then we learned that, the basics. Then we had to, allowed us to make something. And I wanted to make a little bookshelf to stand on the table. It wouldn't let me do without so much wood in it. Very strict of what material we had. So I just played a bit of wood up square, like I'd been taught, like, you know, with the diamond. I always remember that.
Did the church or the chapel play a role in your life?
No, we never went. My family wasn't a churchgoer, but frequently when there was a thing on, like, a slideshow, St. Oswald's Church, those kids were playing, we'd stand round the door and they'd invite us in. And some chaplains had a bit of a do on, they invited us in. We used to get a cream cake. We thought that was great them days. A sandwich on a cream cake. Yeah.
Was there any feeling, you know, between your friends growing up that you were so poor? Presumably they were a bit better off than you. Was there any animosity, any feelings about that too?
No, there wasn't. They used to help us a lot, and sometimes, like, they'd have a meal or something, and they'd give us a bit of bread with condensed milk on it, them days. So, a bit of jam, a slice of bread, like, you know. And we took that as nice, we said, enjoy it like that. Yeah.
How old were you when you left school?
14. In 1930, I left school.
And what did you do then?
Well, I used to do a bit of fishing before I left school, and I carried on with fishing and that. And then, of course, I used to bring the fish home at times, like, catch them, and it was only for them, for me, like, and all that. And in this part of the country, you've got what you call sea coal on the sands. Well, I used to carry a bit of that home on me back from Middleton, right up the gas station. It was about quarter of a mile, probably, to walk. And I thought nothing of it. I mean, I thought, if that's people do that now, then they say it was cruelty. So I used to keep the old fire burning, like, I couldn't afford to buy coal. the driftwood, which they get that to light the fire with, and then put sea coal on. That was well known in my day and age, that.
Did you start work, did you find a job early?
No, I didn't. I had one job only as errand boy, and I couldn't ride a bike, and it only lasted 3 days, because I couldn't ride a bike, I got the sack at the end of the week. I started on the Thursday and I finished on the Sunday morning, 2 o'clock on the Sunday morning before I got home. My mother said, where have you been? You're not going back there. I said, they don't want me back, Mum. You're not going back out this time of the morning. That was about 1930, 31, that.
What did you do with your time and after leaving school?
Well, I used to go to the local Greyfriars, like, and play football and rugby with the lads, like, and the back streets, cricket and all that. Go fishing on the Middleton Pier, like, and things like that.
And jobs were difficult to come by, presumably, at that time?
Jobs were hard to come by, and when I got a bit older, the only job I could get was carrying wood in a sawmill. That broke all your shoulder and that. I'd probably stand a week there and I'd have to pack it in for a broken shoulder and all that, like.
So now, what was the next major event in your life after leaving school?
Well, I met a friend of mine on the sands fishing. He's a married man, much older than me. And he was the first man to give me, he was the man that got me first drink off him. He took me in the pub and bought me a shandy. I felt warm. We put sat lines out them days to catch fish, me and him. We used to work together like that. And I got all right with that man, and he advised me to join the Territorial Army. This was the start of it, there, yes. And I joined, and I went to Ripon Camp. That was in 1934.
So you joined the Territorials. Which unit did you join?
The Dunlight Infantry. The 5th Battalion, based in Hartlepool, yeah, Avenue Road.
And where was the drill hall that you went
to? In Avenue Road, Hartlepool, yeah.
So the very first day you went there, you know, how did you join? How were you able to join the TA? What was the method of joining?
Well, he advised me. He'd been in before that, and he wasn't in then. Like, he was married with a couple of children, this man, much older than me was. But he suggested I join that. And we got allotment. And I shared it with him to grow vegetables and all that. I get very well with that man. So I joined the Territorials. I went to Ripon Camp about 2 weeks before the camp was due. I had a job to keep in step at first, and I eventually found out how to keep in step. And later on, I got another job at a sawmill and after the camp. And the wage was very poor, like, and they sent me along for my cards on the afternoon at the labour exchange. And when I got back, they said, oh, you've been away half an hour. We'll stop that off your money. I said, I can't have my cards and money, because all my shoulder was broke. That I started on the Tuesday morning. And all my shoulder was all sort of broken, carrying wood on it, clean salt on my neck and everything. And he said, no, he said, you can't have your cards. Well, I've got 8 shillings on the means test them days then. Well, by working a full week, I'd only got 12 shillings. So I didn't think much of it, like, and I had a bit of argument with the foreman that day. I want my cards and money. I said, I can get 14 shillings a week in the army and my keep and clothes and everything. He said, join the army, I have a good mind to. And I did in the October. I thought I couldn't be in the army.
Well, before we go on that, can we come back to actually the time you were in the Terriers and you went to the drill hall and joined? What did they issue with your uniform straight away?
Yes, I got issued with the uniform straight away, and I said, and rifle drill and all that. I liked that.
What uniform did they give you?
The putties and all that day and age, like the First World War, that, yeah.
First of all, type uniform.
That's all type uniform, yeah. Webbing and all that, the block and all that business, yeah.
And presumably you then did basic drill?
Basic drill and the grill on, and because when we went to Ripon Camp, it was, we had to go route marching, like, and all that. And I remember once we'd been in manoeuvres, firing blank shots and all that, like, we well took it out. And when we come back to camp, the band meters outside the camp. And so the band stoke up, we said, the jack up, we were walking better. Spent time with the viewers. I also remember that. And that was great.
Were the drills always at light infantry pace from the very beginning?
Oh, yes.
The fast pace?
Yes. We had no horses in the infantry, the Territorials,
no.
Obvious reasons.
No, we're talking about that time that you first joined the Territorials.
Yes.
To get a picture of what life was like in the Territorials,
yes,
at that time. Who was commanding the unit, do you recall?
A man called Lord. He had the local sawmill in Hartlepool as well. And there's another one called Brown. And when the war started, he went as a Spitfire pilot and he got killed in an accident in his trainer, I mean, Brown did. He belonged to Brown Sawmills as well in the town here, local family.
The officers were local businessmen?
They're all local businessmen, yes, exactly, yeah.
Which company was it based in Hartlepool?
The 5th Battalion, the DLI.
Yeah,
I remember that leg.
Yeah, you can't remember the company?
No, I can't remember the company. I know we used to meet with different units of it from Stockton and other places in the area, like at camp. We went to the annual camp, like Ripon Lake.
And this was very shortly after you joined that you went to camp?
Yes. I joined about 2 or 3 weeks, as far as I can remember, before I went to camp. In fact, I had a job to keep in step at first. Yeah. I heard someone say, look, he has a job of keeping in step, that lad there. That's what he said, that lad.
So drills, and what weapon were you issued with?
A rifle.
A 303 rifle?
303 rifle, yeah.
And you get to fire that on the range, did you?
Yeah, we got to fire that on the range at Whitburn. We used to go to Whitburn to fire that, yes.
Did you march there?
No, we went in a bus. Then we marched from where we billeted onto the range, like a short distance, probably a quarter of a mile or so. What was that? It was on the sea front somewhere, like. So the shots went out to sea, like, you know, obviously. Yeah.
The chaps that were in the battalion, the other ranks, whereabouts, what kind of background did they have?
Well, they had a mixed background. Some had their father working regular employment, like, and they were fairly well off, like, and there's some, quite a few that was like myself, living on the poverty line, like, and that was it, like. And looking back in them days, like, it, I think, living on the poverty line, you learned discipline, you learned to face up to them, to life as it was them days. It's much different today, that easy today. I think it was.
What was the discipline like in the battalion? Strict?
Well, it was. Wasn't all. It was strict to a point, but not so strict as it was in the regular army. I found that out. Like, but even so, I still enjoyed the regular army. I joined that.
How long were you in the territorials before you went into the regulars?
Oh, just a few months. I joined the regular army in October. I think I joined the territorials. I think it was in July. And the same year, after I had a bad job in the sawmill, when I said I could get 40 shillings a week in my cave, and the foreman said, well, why don't you go? I said, I have a good man to join up. But a few weeks later, October, I did join up.
What did your mother think of you joining the army?
Well, I think she was pleased because I didn't get very well on with my stepfather. You see, he was out of work at the time, and he had an upland garden. And I remember one day, I was going to go satellite fishing. I said before I was going to satellite fishing with this friend of mine, this older man. We had to go with the tides, they say, and the tide went down. I said, my mother, can I have my dinner a bit early the day, like? And the next night, I come in later on, he had a bit of a verbal fight with us, played well with us, took those on me back and all that, and it got a bit tatty after that for about a month, I think, as far as I can remember. So I decided to join the regular army, and that was it. And I enjoyed it. My mother, she didn't say anything about it, but I think she was glad in some respects. I did join, like.
And you said this was the October, I think.
This was in October, yeah.
What year was it?
34.
So you've decided to join the army. What was the actual process of joining?
Well, I went to the recruiting office, like, and so I'd like to join the regular army. He said, which regiment? I said, well, anyway, he said, I'll put you in the RA. That's how I got to be in the Royal Artillery. I thought I'd went straight in the Delmas, like, for the recruiting sergeant said, RA, so I went in the RA. And I was pleased about it, because there was horses them days. There was something new to me. It made things life more interesting.
Yeah. So you went to the recruiting office, and he, as you say, put you in the Royal Artillery. Yeah. Did you swear an oath to the
Oh, crown? Yes, you got sworn in to the king there. Serve His Majesty and His successors in all to the United Kingdom, in the case of war, wherever He wished to send us. That's universal. That, I think, you don't get sworn in that way, don't you? Even now today.
And they give you the King's shilling, did they?
Yes, I got the King's Shilling, yes. I actually remember that one, I got the King's Shilling, yeah. Yeah.
Did you come home from the office and wait from the recruiting office and wait for word to go?
Yeah, then I've got a travelling one. They give us all the documents, travelling one, to report to Woolwich Barracks.
At what point did you have a medical? Was it when you got to Woolwich or before?
I had a medical in the territorials, but it was only a stand-up one. And when I'm home, I had two deformed little fingers. You can see the bent. The doctor noticed that. First time I noticed it. And I had another medical when I joined the regular army as well.
Mm. So you went off down to Woolwich.
Woolwich, yes.
How did they receive you there? Arrived at the gates and you're about.
Arrived at the gates and we were allocated a give blankets and that and the next day we got and our civvies then got a uniform, put that on like, and they started learning how to do drills and what have you.
What uniform were you given there as a Royal Artillery?
Riding breeches. At first we had like fatigues for training with, and the uniform there was riding breeches of the day, with spurs you had to wear, spurs and all that. Yeah, but that was very interesting. I look forward to that, like, you know. That was great.
What was the accommodation like?
Well, the accommodation was all right. It was a fold-up bed, like. Put our kit up, like, at least they do it the same today, as far as I know. Make a kit up, all neatly folded. Pull your bed out and make a bed, a tea's arm after tea, like. And that was it.
Was it a huge building that you were in?
Oh, it was a huge building. A big barracks there, Woolwich's, yes.
And the layout of the building, can you describe that?
Oh, yes, there was many East Square and West Square and all that. In fact, they used to train horses in there to get them used to the crowds for London things. We had a line up and wave rattle tins and all that when they brought the horses down to get used to a crowd and all that. We learned all that besides our ordinary drills.
Can we look at the accommodation first?
Yeah.
You're in this room, in this large building.
Yeah.
How many soldiers to a room?
Well, I think there was about 8 or 10, as far as I can remember.
Mm. And can you describe the room, what it looked like?
Yeah, it was all right. It was a bit dull, but it was just a barrack room. The beds were all spaced out there, just like a hospital ward, for that matter. And there was a table in the middle of the room and one or two chairs to sit on, and that was it.
And how was it heated?
It was heated with stoves and what have you.
A stove in the middle of the room?
Yeah, no, on the side wall, in the wall, like, well, the same thing, but on the wall, like, not in the room, not in the middle of the room, yeah.
And you would, each of you would have to keep that room clean?
Yes, it was inspected once a week, had to polish on the floor and everything, but it cleaned during the day, but once a week, the officer came down and inspected it, the Stantower beds and all that, like. It was discipline, it was all right, we enjoyed it. Yeah.
And was this a kit inspection as well as a room inspection?
Kit inspection, yes. Yeah. All the kit was made up and laid out on the bed, one in the wash, wearing one, and one on shore. That was something like that, side. Free of everything.
Do you recall how your kit was laid out on the bed? What was the order of the layout?
Well, at the back of the bed, you had towards the pillar end, you had your blankets all folded up in a neat pile, like, with the sheets in between, like a sandwich. They ought to be nice and square. Then your other gear was laid out, your boots and all that business, and your trousers and all that, and your other shirts were all neatly rolled up and laid out just like that. So he had a uniform way of doing it. They had to do the same. And, of course, when the morley officer come round, like, one or two of them got ticked off. What's this here, this stick, like? I think that was unnecessary to keep on your toes. There's no harm in it, like. You always found fault with one of us. This is some minor fault. Keep us on our toes. Always enjoy it, like, yeah. We used to have a laugh about it. He got played wild with. He forgot to do this, he forgot to do that, like. It was all part of the social makeup of our training, everything.
And in between, you know, the days in the week, who was in charge of the hut or the accommodation that you were in, the room that you were in?
Well, there was a junior NCO. He slept in a little cubicle at the end by himself, and he kept an eye on us. They kept him on his own because of his rank, you see. He had one stripe or two stripes. And the sergeants, they left somewhere else, they did. Yeah.
And what was, do you recall the particular one you had?
Not really, yeah. I know his name was Blunt. It was two stripe, eh?
How did he treat you?
He treated us all right. He used to give us some of us a telling up once in a while. Like we did something wrong, that was part of the makeup, part of the army's method, you see. I mean, if you weren't checked for something, you would go from bad to worse, I suppose. So there's always had to find fault with somebody, you know, and then to keep on your toes. It's understandable, isn't it?
The chaps in the room with you, what were they like?
Oh, they were all right. They were a mixed lot, like. We had one man, he'd come up from Australia to join the Royal Artillery. Like a family tradition of theirs to be in the Royal Artillery.
No bullies amongst them?
Well, we have no bullies, I don't. We had some people who thought of the bee's knees, so to speak, like. You get that. But on the whole, we're a fairly good set of people. So it's like, you know.
You got on well together.
You had one, two arguments now in a while, especially when we're playing cards. Yes, exactly. Because I used to like playing cards, and I finished that many arguments. So I had to cheat. I stopped playing cards and I finished. That always brought some arguments up that day. Yeah.
Did the army frown upon you playing cards?
No. They used to play cards and dominoes. They used to play for a few coppers, like, you know, them days.
But you had no trouble with the authorities?
Oh, no,
You shouldn't be doing this.
They used to play, go to the canteen and play cards when you're the naffy, like, and get a drink of coffee, tea, or be it there, like, you know, and that was it.
How did you keep the room clean?
Well, we had the mops and brushes and polishes and all that, like. Polished. The floor was all wood, stained polished floor. But I keep that clean and all that, like, you know. Once a week, we used to really get down to it. There was a weekly inspection. All the officers come round. And when we had our meals in the mess hall, he'd come round on a morning, all the meals. He'd go round the table, then he complains, all the officers on duty, you see. Then he complains about your food and everything. Oh, it was very good them days, I thought, yeah.
Where were the latrines in relation to the sleeping quarters?
Well, they were just outside of the barracks. It had come downstairs to go into them, you see. In the bathhouse, the same way as there'd be baths and that. Showers and ordinary bath.
And what was the washing? What were the washing facilities?
Oh, they were quite good. Plenty of hot water and everything, yeah.
And were there bowls to wash in? Or
we had bowls to wash in the morning, but we had baths to wash in, and a shower bath once a week, you say. You have a shower or a step-in bath, yeah.
The toilets themselves, were they close to the room? Were they next to the room?
No, you had to come downstairs to get
downstairs
them. Yeah.
As well, right.
Yeah. They were completely away from the building. I suppose in them days it was more hygienic that way, just today, like. Of course, things have moved on a bit since then, haven't they? Even at home again.
When they issued you with the uniform, how did they do it? Was it just looking at you, or were you measured, or what?
You were measured, like, and some of them didn't fit quite so well, but they were different sizes. And on the whole, you got a fairly good fit of a uniform, like. Try one or two tunics on, trousers and so forth. They'd measure you up, like, put a try that on. Oh, that's a bit baggy, that. Try that one. It's a bit tight, that. It's a bit slacker, that one. Try that one on.
And was there a tailor on the camp to do any work, any alterations?
There was a tailor shop. He could get things done for you, yes. But you had to pay for that. If you want any stripes, you've got promoters, things like that. Or someone had got come undone, you wanted sewn, you see. We used to have what called a housewife ourselves. It was a little, like, cloth package with needle and cottons in to sew our own buttons on, things like that. We did them things ourselves.